This is the fourth in our series, and today we're going to talk about a CMS memo that came out on July 17, 2015. We've referenced this memo several times during the preceding calls when we've talked about specific meds, but we wanted to do a little bit deeper dive on it today. So the memo that came out July 17, 2015, entitled Medication-Related Adverse Events in Nursing Homes, we want to make sure that you as facilities are aware of it, what it says, and what it means. I'll briefly go over the content of it. It talks about the fact that in nursing homes, high-risk medications have the potential to help but also to hurt residents. The memo referenced two sources to start with, an OIG report from 2014 that basically said about a third of residents admitted to skilled nursing facilities during the first 35 days suffered some level of harm. Harm was defined rather loosely, and about 40% of that harm was related to medications. They also referenced a Washington Post article that talked about Coumadin-related deaths in long-term care facilities. The memo stated that CMS was going to begin conducting pilot surveys to look really at the management of high-risk meds in nursing homes. I had a conversation with OACQ in Maryland yesterday. The state survey agency itself has not done any of these focus surveys, but I'm aware of at least one where the federal surveyors from central office in Baltimore did come into a facility in Maryland, pilot one of these surveys, and found some pretty significant problems with medication management. They themselves didn't act on it, but referred it to the state survey agency, who came in shortly after the feds left, and the facility ended up with immediate jeopardy and actual harm deficiencies related to med management. The pilot survey is looking to see whether facilities identify preventable adverse drug events. They look to see whether facilities have identified risk in individual residents and try to mitigate it. And thirdly, they look to see whether facilities have functioning systems in place to prevent adverse drug events, but equally important is to quickly identify them so they don't become worse for residents. So those are the three bullet points. One of my takeaways when I read about systems is it's inevitable that well-meaning people working in facilities will fail eventually. So you as leaders in nursing homes and assisted livings have the job of developing systems that make it harder for your staff to do the wrong thing and easier for your staff to do the right thing when it comes to care. As you know, negative outcomes don't necessarily result in deficiencies, but failed systems that don't work always result in deficiencies regardless of outcomes. So also part of this memo, there was a draft adverse drug event trigger tool that CMS had piloted. It is voluntary on the part of facilities. You don't have to use it, but looking at it and knowing that surveyors may very well be using it, I would strongly suggest facilities look at that drug event trigger tool and use it themselves. It makes perfect sense since that's part of what you're going to be judged on by the surveyors. A couple comments from me before I turn it over to Jen in terms of steps you should be taking now. we've brought this up before. I'm a big fan of following this geriatric principle, which says any symptom in an elderly patient should be considered a drug side effect until proven otherwise. So anytime you have falls or change in mental status or bleeding or coughing, vomiting, anything in a resident in your facility, part of the differential in terms of determining what is causing that should always include taking a look at medications. I think if you do that, you first of all show that you're sensitive to the effects that high-risk drugs have on people, and it does go a long way in the survey process. And that includes nurses, pharmacists, and doctors looking at changes in condition and considering whether medications are causing it. You as a facility should be defining what high-risk drugs are to you. There is not a blanket statement from CMS out there that defines high-risk drugs. Facilities actually are empowered to look at their resident population and the drugs they use and define them themselves. A good resource for that is the Institute for Safe Medication Practice has a number of publications that talk about what they consider to be high-risk drugs, but that's something your QA committee should be doing. Medication practices that include nurses always reading back orders from prescribers go a long way in reducing adverse events associated with high-risk drugs. An evolving issue we're seeing with electronic health records is nurses have to be very careful when they input information into EHRs. While we've gotten away from poor handwriting by using EHRs, the drop-down menus on them are causing nurses some problems, and they're quite frankly picking the wrong drug to send to the pharmacy as an order. So caution your staff to be very careful when using EHRs. In terms of actual medication administration, there has to be really good oversight of CMAs. Remember, CMAs are very good at the technical aspects of giving med, but not necessarily the assessment piece. So nurses have to be very cognizant of knowing the residents well and communicating CMA to the CMA and how that may affect drug management. Good communication between staff is a huge issue when it comes to limiting adverse drug events. For example, the nursing assistant at the bedside may know that a resident is constipated and there should be things done, but the person giving a med doesn't necessarily know that, and so communication is also key. This one is becoming more and more evident to me as a value-added benefit that you should think about doing. Documenting lab values on the actual MAR where you're giving the med is really becoming important. A lot of the cases that we get involved in, the resident will have an elevated INR, for example, on Coumadin, but the nurse giving the drug doesn't know what the INR is. So some facilities have gone to a practice where nurses document each INR before each dose of the drug, which seems to be helpful. And you can expand that to Dilantin or insulin or other drugs in your facility. Critical thinking is something that's really important to teach to your staff. We regularly see medications given together that make absolutely no sense. For example, people on Coumadin who have an elevated INR frequently get vitamin K to counteract the effects of Coumadin, and we see nurses giving vitamin K and Coumadin together. We see them giving the drug glucagon to raise blood sugars along with insulin at the same time, and we see them giving the drug KXLate, which is to lower serum potassium. At the same time, they're giving a potassium supplement. So it's important that you drill deep with your staff and make sure they're very cognizant of, does it make sense, the drugs we're getting together? We've actually seen facilities put cautionary labels on stat drugs like vitamin K or glucagon that just say, make sure you're holding Coumadin or make sure you're holding insulin. Lastly, you should always clarify allergies. Allergies are a common issue with drugs. Sometimes the allergies are valid, sometimes they're not. But once an allergy is documented in a record, surveyors consider that accurate until proven otherwise. And lastly, while not necessarily a high-risk drug, Synthroid dosing changes should be checked carefully. There's frequently confusion about what a TSH means and what to do with it in response to an elevated or low TSH, and it's a common area of problems for Synthroid dosing. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Jen, to talk a little bit about the pharmacist side of this. Go ahead, Jen.
Great. Thanks, Bill. Actually, I thought for the couple minutes that I had with everyone today, I would talk a little bit more about the criteria for the Focused Medication Safety System Survey. We did get our hands on the criteria for this actual survey process and what the surveyors will be looking for from a policy and procedure standpoint. So I thought I'd go through a couple of those and make some notes as we went through them. But basically, if you do get a medication safety-focused survey, the surveyors are going to look at residents admitted in the past 120 days, and they in particular are going to look at transfers and discharges to see why patients were transferred to the hospital or discharged and what their current status is, and even more focus on those that are in and out of the hospital quite a bit. And I'm sure they will be fine-tooth combing the drug regimens to see if medications or adverse drug events were, in fact, part of the reason the patient was transferred out to maybe an acute care setting like a hospital. So they will certainly be looking at those patients. So from a quality assurance perspective, you may want to look and really review some of your hospital transfers, in particular if medications were involved, to see if there are any additional policies or safety practices you can put in place, because that's going to be a hot-button issue. The surveyors are also going to be looking for quite a few policies and procedures related to medication safety. Your pharmacy provider should have a good many of these already in place in their pharmacy policy and procedure handbook, but there are some more clinically based policies and procedures that the facility should have as well. So as I go through these, I'll make a note of those that I think from a facility perspective you really need to make sure you have in place, because the pharmacy may not necessarily have a P&P in regards to that topic. So the first couple are around incidents and accidents and adverse events. In other words, what does your staff do if there is an accident or an adverse drug event? What are the processes they need to follow? So those types of policies surveyors will be looking for. They'll be looking for detailed medication administration policies. So, again, typically your pharmacy will have those available, but there may be some additional ones around injections or G-tubes that you as a facility may have in additional detail. They'll be looking in particular for management of high-risk medications. And I think Bill alluded to some of these. He mentioned that there is no golden list of high-risk medications, but I'm sure there are ones that you have seen that have caused a lot of adverse drug events. Warfarin or Coumadin, the insulins with diabetes, for sure, and of course psychotropics are a hot button item as well. So if you do not already have really good policies and procedures around both the administration and at least those several drugs, as well as what to do if a patient is having adverse drug events, whether it's bleeding from Coumadin or a high INR, or if it's low blood sugar with insulin, you have to have really good processes in place and make sure your staff are following them, because those are certainly going to be hot button items. And those are cases where you would really, as a facility, want to develop your own policies and train on them. The surveyors will be looking at consultant pharmacist services, because they realize consultant pharmacists are very valuable in identifying adverse drug reactions and potentials for adverse drug reactions and drug interactions. So we've seen, especially with the migration to electronic health systems, sometimes the recommendations pharmacists are making are getting lost in the shuffle. So making sure that you as a facility have a process to receive any comments the consultant pharmacist is leaving for you, as well as what you do with them. The attending physician has to review them and respond to them, whether positively or negatively, of course, is up to the physician, but there has to be a process in place that those comments don't get lost. And if the physician does agree, then acting on that agreement and any orders that may come of it. Also, surveyors will be looking for quality assessment and insurance policies, procedures, and making sure that those are in place. So that is really kind of the basic, when the surveyors would walk into your building, what they'd be looking for you to hand to them as they're in your building, and then they will start digging. And I'm sure, as we mentioned, the high-risk drugs, Coumadin for sure, diabetes medications, and the psychotropics, I am fairly certain will be high on their list, and they'll be really scrutinizing those drugs and those processes. So with that, I think we are to the end of our time, and we have maybe 1 minute left if anyone has any questions.
All right. Well, thank you, Jen and Bill, for that. And please return to us for the next Tuesday stand-up, which is March 22nd. Our topic at that time, presented by Remedy Senior Care, will be the clinical and regulatory bottom line. Just as a gentle reminder, we'll begin again at 10 a.m. If you'd like to listen to the recorded call, go to the Leading Age Maryland website, and within the Education and Events tab, you can scroll down to the Tuesday stand-up, and all of the calls have been recorded and posted, and any information mentioned by Jen or Bill have the attachments there as well. So with that, everyone enjoy this beautiful weather day, and we'll speak to you again on March 22nd. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.